Hi, Marblehead. This is Jason Silva, town administrator and host of the podcast Marblehead on the Move. Today, for the first time, our inaugural first guest of the podcast, the new police chief in town, Dennis King, is here to join us. So welcome, Dennis. First, why don't you give us an introduction of yourself and your background and where you come from?
Thanks, Jason. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here and talk about my first few months on the job as the police chief in Marblehead. I came originally from Salem, where I was on the Salem Police Department for about 26 years. I ended up being a captain and the acting chief for 9 months. And I really enjoyed my time there, and I believe that it prepared me for the position that I now have in Marblehead. And I think that some of the areas that I have the most experience around community engagement, police reform in the sense of us talking about social justice, mental health, transparency, police accountability, are areas that I'm well suited for, and I'm really happy to be here.
Thanks. So you've been here about 4 months. In some ways, it already feels like you've been here for 4 years rather than 4 months. It's been a lot happening in those 4 months. So why don't you give us your first impressions of the town, first impressions of the department?
So the town couldn't be any more welcoming than they have. And I would say that for the department as well. It is the first time that an outside chief has come in. So that is something that is new for the sworn personnel, the civilian personnel of the department, and they've been nothing but warm and opening. I'd say that what I knew right away is that they are truly engaged, they're very competent, and they're committed to serve the town of Marblehead. I didn't have a lot of experience with individuals prior to me joining the department, so I've been greatly impressed by the department itself. And then the town has been more than welcoming as well. I think that in terms of civic engagement and civic mindedness of the residents, the town literally turns out for everything that I've been part of. They're deeply involved and care about the progress and where the town goes. And I couldn't be happier to be now part of this community.
And you survived your first major storm that we had this week, which put a strain, I think, on all departments. But I think we came together quite well, worked together well, and thank you for your leadership in helping to coordinate those efforts. So why don't you talk about some of the things you're working on and some priorities that you see for the next several months and maybe even beyond?
So one of the areas, and it's not just an area, it basically engulfs all of policing, is the criminal justice reform that the legislators have mandated across the Commonwealth, all of which, when we talk about the tenets of what they're looking for, police accountability, transparency, professionalism, certification of a police officer, are all things that as a police chief, I believe in, and overall, I think that the legislation provides a good roadmap and mandate, quite frankly, for us to do as a department. A couple areas that for me are very important and that I knew I had to get involved in right away was community engagement. I believe that to build trust within a community with its police department, community engagement is the best way to do that. Things from coffee with the chief, coffee with a cop. I've had some outstanding conversations with citizens in that forum. I would say that I've been able to meet and speak with several of the civic groups within Marblehead, from the Marblehead Ministerial Association to the Rotary Club to the High School Parent Council organization. Very warm, very welcoming, and allowing me to come in and give them an idea of who I am and what I'm looking for. I'd say that, you know, another area of community engagement that I would advocate for is our Citizen Police Academy that's coming up in January. There's some spots still available on the website, which you can connect to our website by going through marblehead.org and choosing our department. There's a link that you'll be able to get the application and get that over to us. So community engagement has been a focus. It's something that I enjoy doing. It's something that is a culture within the department. I believe the officers want to do, and I'm given in the avenues to do that. Another spot that we've focused quite a bit on is our trainings. And so trainings for police officers are something that allows us to police by the best and most effective ways possible. And I say that because when I first started, classes like cultural competency and implicit bias and officer wellness that we're all now required to do didn't exist. And so we've developed and evolved. And so that many times I get the question, how many hours does an officer have to train in a year? So outside of the Recruit Academy, which is about 6 months, we do about 40 hours of mandated in-service training. And then really the next part of that, which is incumbent upon the chief and the organization, is to get that specialized training in areas that show to have a need. And a couple of those areas are around anti-Semitism. We've worked with the ADL on both a hate crime class and an inclusiveness class that so far has gone very well. I'll give you an example on the hate crime class. It talks about hate symbols, hateful incidents, and it's been very well received by the officers, by the interactiveness and the ability to effectively report and understand how to conduct one of those investigations. The inclusiveness one really is about understanding other people's cultures and other people's approaches to things that might be different to yours. And I believe that that will fit right into the cultural competency. And then we have things like implicit bias, trainings that we're moving on. I just sent a couple officers to the internal affair investigator class to become certified investigators. And just this week, we conducted a Milo use of force simulator training, which is really a realistic training that allows an officer to presented with through a video screen, and very interactive. You actually have all your tools that you have on your belt, from your taser to your firearm, to go through scenarios so that you have the response and the ability to understand how to de-escalate first, how to move to and transition to other tools on your belt. But it really is in policing something what I believe everybody is asking for. And it allows for the officer, for the first time that he sees perhaps a shoot, no shoot scenario, to be able to have experienced some of the options that are presented to them tactically, the ability to de-escalate situations and not make a situation worse. Really great training that was well received by every patrolman and every supervisor in the department. Very thankful for the MPTC and their trainers coming in to do that for us.
How do you take the trainings and make them more than just a check the box exercise and really take what the officers and what everyone is learning at the trainings and truly incorporate the teachings of the trainings into the operations of the department? Are there strategies you use in order to do that?
So that's a great question. And that is, as a trainer myself, almost for the last 20 years, I've had that belief that a training is not successful until you have the ability to apply it practically and talk about what you did and didn't do as a result of the training, and is it effective? And so that includes trainings that then have perhaps policy reviews related to them. So Milo training and use of force would have perhaps a use of force review and policy review to make sure that everybody's understanding where we are in 2021 with our use of force policy. It is conversations. We're a smaller department amongst the superiors and the patrolmen. Is this training effective? I did that quite a bit this week to get input on, you know, what guys are getting and gals are getting out of that. And I think it's very important. So it's a great point to say that it never ends. And then there has to be follow-up to the training. There has to be reinforcement and support within the department and a belief that what we're learning is the best practice. And that comes from leadership, that comes from superior officers, that comes from myself, to make sure that it's ingrained. And then lastly, I'll just repeat again, it's reinforced by policy and policy understanding.
That's great, thanks. You have a few committees that you've been working on in town. You want to talk about some of your committee work and the focus of that?
Yes. So my very first weekend, there was an incident that was reported. It was a graffiti incident that was at the Forest River Reservation that was both anti-Semitic and racist in nature. It was able to be cleaned up relatively quickly. We started an investigation. And as such, then became, what do you do next? And without having been here in Marblehead very long, I knew from Salem that I had a friend in the ADL. I reached out to my ADL partners in Marblehead, and I really became to understand that it is a something that is not unique and to just Marblehead, but also where I was in Salem. But it demands a discussion with subject matter experts, hence the ADL. And so I will say that led into discussions with people that are in the community, stakeholders that really work hard as part of the Task Force for Discrimination, which I'm on, and I've enjoyed my time with that group discussing the areas that they cover. The Mental Health Task Force has a community event on November 8th at the high school, which will be a panel discussion on mental health. The coalition talking about social justice issues. I've been to many of the meetings. I've been part and have spoken to our community leaders through these task force. I'm happy to be on them, and I think that it's very important to note that this town's efforts are organized and they really are geared at making a difference.
One other group that you're involved in, you're actually leading for us internally, is the Problem Properties Committee that we have in town that is newly created. It's an internal committee, and you want to talk about, I know you've been involved in that type of work, quality life issues and problem property issues, in your prior roles as well. You want to talk about some of that work that's just actually getting started in a more coordinated and focused way here in town?
So the problem property working group, meeting group, that is comprised of department heads and department members that have the ability to, in an aggregate, put perhaps infractions together, to put areas of concern that when you look at it in your own silo, you are sometimes frustrated because you don't have one simple answer for like a public health issue, like the trash is always overflowing at a particular property. How do you deal with it? Or a property's been unkept, or there is activity that people report that might be criminal in nature or just disturbance in nature. And so this effort amongst these departments that can make a difference by working together will efficiently allow us to effectively create difference, and so that we're not wasting resources, but we're dealing with them in an aggregate way. And I think that what's important also to note is that if somebody has fallen into that problem property designation within our group, meaning that we are repeatedly going to there as a town in a negative light, that we're looking for the ability to identify what an underlying issue may be and assist the individual as well. And so it's not, I fear that people think that it's just the town's effort to try to, you know, put the hammer down on situations that need to. It's quite the opposite. It's getting our resources together, making sure that we're getting people perhaps services that they need, from an elderly person that might need some assistance with just connecting with care to heating oil, or perhaps just something along those lines. But I believe in the short time that we've done it, we've identified some properties and have made some good movement. I've had some experience in the past, and then it becomes, you know, what do you do and how do you make some of these closures? And sometimes the town does have to do that, and, you know, we're providing that pathway.
Yeah, it's certainly not a punitive group, I would say. It's really trying to identify the issues in a number of different properties that we're facing and really find solutions to the problems that neighbors are facing, but most importantly, those who may be living in those properties around. Let's make sure they have the supports and services they may need in order to care for themselves and to care for their property. So that's some good work that's happening internally with a number of different departments. It's a good example, I think, of how town departments and town leaders can get together, work together on issues of concern in areas of shared interest and make a difference. So there's other, there's some grants that we're either chasing right now or have received in your area of responsibility, from traffic to mental health and some school-related traffic safety, pedestrian safety issues. You wanna quickly talk about those?
Sure. So the traffic safety grant, the town got $35,000 for traffic safety efforts that relate from anywhere from enforcement to education. And I'm really excited that Chief Piccarello had put that in play prior to me coming on, because I think that $35,000 towards this effort really does augment our ability to put patrols out, but it also has allowed us to purchase a couple handheld speed radar detectors, which is really, you know, something that augments the efforts. The Signs and Lines grant, we're waiting for that. Again, focused on safety of pedestrians or kids walking to school, which is great. And then the mental health co-response and crisis intervention team grant that we're finishing work up on, that I believe and I'm fully confident that we'll be able to have enact a model of co-response for officers responding with mental health clinicians. And then a second part that is equally as important, having every officer trained in crisis intervention team training, which is really a very expansive training on approaching, dealing with, and getting mental health, somebody suffering from a mental health crisis to the right place that they need to be, you know, effectively and the like. So I'm excited about a couple of those opportunities.
That's great. And lastly, we have some new officers that are preparing to come on board. You want to just give them a quick shout out? We're happy to. We can't wait for them to join the ranks.
Absolutely. So Owen Piccarello and Charlie Sweeney are starting the Police Academy January 17th. They will be engaged in the 6 months of that duty, and then obviously will come back to us sometime in June, do their field training for about 12 weeks. So we'll see the real live effect of them sometime late summer. But I'm very excited that I have two young men that grew up in the town, are committed to the well-being of the town, to their community. And I couldn't be happier. I can tell you that there is always a desire by a police chief to be in a situation where he can appoint or recommend to appoint individuals that they feel can do the job. And I truly believe that these two young men will be able to serve the community well.
All right. Well, thanks, Chief, for joining us. We are truly grateful to have you on board here in town in Marblehead and leading all these initiatives. We're already seeing the fruits of all your good work so far, and expect a lot more to come, because I know there's a lot more, more work to come. So with that, thanks everyone for listening, and have a great weekend.